This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School podcast, episode number 127, Digestion, the Foundation of Good Health. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. I am so pumped today to be here. I had an amazing week this last week. I spent it in Orlando with my husband at a conference where we learned more about how to reach people, get our messages out, and really be able to create change and kind of like a legacy in life. And so I've been thinking a lot about legacy and what we want our lives to mean. And we sometimes look at these big picture things, or we kind of look at the whole outside view, but we forget about the important fundamental building blocks. Things as simple as how we do our routines every day, or whether or not we're taking quiet time to really ponder and think and allow inspiration and insight to come into our minds and our hearts. And so as I was thinking about Ayurveda in this context, I was drawn back to the foundations. Every single illness has a foundational beginning in digestion. What is really interesting to me is I was studying to be an Ayurveda health counselor, and I have people ask a lot, well, where did you go to school? Where did you study? So I went to the California College of Ayurveda out in Nevada City, California. It's kind of near Sacramento, one of the most beautiful places in the world. Not the most beautiful place. I just moved recently to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which I, at this moment in time, believe it to be the most beautiful place on earth. And I tell you what, flying in last night, we got to come right over the Tetons, and the sun was setting, and you could see this beautiful peaks of the jagged mountains, and it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. I actually took some photos I'll share on social media because they were so beautiful as we were coming in on that airplane. But my point about that is that we sometimes forget some of these foundational pieces. And when we forget these foundational pieces, everything falls apart. And so I'll have clients come to me and they have maybe a really chronic disease, something they've been dealing with a long time, perhaps something like an autoimmune disease. Maybe they have a GI tract disease like Crohn's disease, or they're having irritable bowel syndrome and it's been going on for a long period of time. And they typically want to know how to fix that disease. And they're kind of looking at the disease as though that is the big problem. And they aren't looking at what actually caused that problem. Where did it start? And many times these chronic diseases come on kind of subtly, and we don't notice the symptoms because we are not paying attention. We're very unaware. We're not being mindful. And it can be a matter of tuning in more to our bodies, which can be really hard to do because oftentimes we then have to feel emotion, and we don't like to feel emotion because emotion can sometimes be difficult and negative. But when we come back to where did it all start, it all began with the formation of the tissues of the body. Because as our tissues are being formed, that's where our health is being determined. And tissues are formed through digestion. So it does not matter if somebody comes in and they are having sleep issues, or they have diabetes, or they have fibromyalgia, or lupus, or cancer even, we always go back to the basics. That made me really nervous when I started to work with clients because I felt like I needed to have these big, miraculous solutions for them, and that every person needed to have a completely different answer. And so I would have to understand every disease that had ever manifested in the human body and how to heal that. Doesn't that sound a little bit overwhelming? It made it kind of scary. I didn't feel like I would ever know enough to actually help people. And that's what I really wanted to do Ayurveda for, was to be able to bless and help other people, help them become their own healers, and find a more natural way to find balance other than just using pills and things to mask symptoms. But when I realized it actually all came down to the digestion, that simplified it so much because I realized that no matter what they're coming in, what ailment, we're always going to start by treating digestion. We get that in order, and then we move on to dealing with the bigger branches of the tree. You guys have heard me talk before about how Ayurveda is like the tree branches, and we look at it as we want to heal the roots. We don't want to look at like the blossoms or the leaves that are growing on the outside, the symptoms of the illness. We want to come back to the basic foundation. So we're going to do that over the next several episodes because I really feel like we sometimes get lost in the weeds and we forget that this is actually important. And because it is so basic, we tend to overlook it. So even if you have heard this information before, See if you can find one nugget that you can take away, something that you can implement, something that you can see in a different way or understand differently, because it takes us multiple times of hearing information before it actually penetrates. And perhaps I'll say it in a way today that helps you differently than how you've heard it before. Even if you've listened to me, maybe I've talked about it differently because we are all growing and progressing. So, you know, episode 5, where I talked about digestion, is going to be very different than episode 127. So shall we jump in? I think that sounds like a good idea. So when we look at digestion and what that actually means, it's not just that process of breaking down food. It's extended further into metabolizing or changing it from one substance to another. So metabolism is really transformation. And our bodies are continually metabolizing and transforming the substances that we take in. Specifically, we'll talk today about food, but the substances that we take in through our food, they're transforming them into another substance, which ultimately becomes the body tissue and our strength, which we call ojas in Ayurveda. And our body tissues are formed kind of in a layer. If you were to look at them like an onion, and the center is the core of our being, and the outside is the most superficial layer, we build our body tissues in layers. And because we need to take in food that is so nourishing, we find that if we're not taking in nourishing food, the bottom layer of tissue development is not very strong. And that's where we lead to poor immunity and poor strength and ultimately disease. So it's really important that the food that we're bringing in has the proper nourishments and that we're able to digest and metabolize them. Because even if you bring in the most healthy food possible for your body, if you're not able to break it down and metabolize it, it will do you no good. I have this sweet nephew who was born with a disease called Gaucher's. And Gaucher's disease is a storage disease that deals with proteins in the body. And it's an inability to break down and use these proteins. So it didn't matter how much of the substance he was fed, he wasn't able to break it down. His body wasn't able to use it, hence he wasn't able to develop. His tissues couldn't form and grow. And he's my little brother's boy. And it was so sad because we didn't know that he had this illness until he was about 5 months old. And it's very rare, not something you see very often. So it took a while for these doctors to diagnose him. And he ended up working with some physicians down at Primary Children's Hospital in Salt Lake City, Utah. Amazing place to take your children. I've had kids go there for different things, and it's a fantastic facility. But these doctors were so sweet and spent their time to really find out what was going on. Unfortunately, there was nothing that we could do for him. And so he passed away at about 9 months old. And it was heartbreaking, right, for the whole family to deal with this and to suffer through this, especially his parents. And still, it's been, you know, 15 years and still seeing the repercussions and the sadness that happens every year on his birthday when they think that, you know, he should be here with us. But that's what happens when our body is not able to break down what we take in. So it's important to understand why this does and doesn't happen, and from an Ayurvedic standpoint, what that means. Digestion is called paka, P-A-K-A in Sanskrit. So digestion is paka, and it is the most important determinant of you having good health, is your ability to digest, because it deals with your ability to build quality tissue. And there is a force in our body. And when I say that, I start thinking Star Wars, like the force. But there is a force or an energy in our body that actually creates digestion. And you've heard it before if you listen to anything I've ever taught, and it's called Agni. So Agni is fire. You can think of it as fire. So whenever I talk about Agni, I want you to picture in your mind this little roaring fire that's in your gut, okay? And it's responsible for that transformation I talked about, the metabolism. And it's an important thing because metabolism can do two things, right? Metabolism can break things down or it can build things up. So catabolism is the breakdown into smaller pieces. So it's when we take something, we break it down into smaller and smaller components. And anabolism is building of new tissues from these smaller components. Both of these things are going on in your body all the time. You're taking in food, it's being catabolized down into smaller amounts, and then your body is able to take those food substances in those small energetic amounts and build them up through anabolism into the tissues or the body. So Agni is really important. Anytime Agni is there, you're going to be having chemical or biochemical reactions. So it's a key component of all of that. So when we talk about Agni, sometimes we use it interchangeably with the word Pitta. Okay, so pitta has both fire and water in it. We know that. Those are the two elements that make it up. It's primarily the fire element. If you have a lot of pitta in your dosha, you find that you blush easily. You're quicker to anger. Your digestion tends to be stronger because you naturally have more of this fire element within you. So pitta is the force of metabolism in your body, right? You can think about it in that way. Fire or agni never exists by itself. There's always going to be water involved because it needs a container. So I like to think of, I've got this little cup of water or bowl of water, and my fire is existing in the middle. And the water keeps that fire from burning out of control. It doesn't, we don't want it to dilute or put the fire out. That's not a positive thing, but we want there to be that water there to keep balance. So when digestion is working, what you're taking in is being transformed into usable products, right? It's usable materials and it creates waste product. So agni is what forms your waste. And when digestion's poor, then you get a toxic residue called ama. Now we never have perfect digestion, right? No matter how hard we work, we're never going to have everything go perfect. That's why we do things like a seasonal cleanse, which we have coming up in October. And it's because we need an opportunity to take all that ama that has built up by poor digestion and break it down and release it from our bodies. And if we don't do this on a regular basis, we find that that leads into a toxic overload, and then we have disease, right? We have a whole step process that it goes through in Ayurveda that we call accumulation, aggravation, overflow, and then it finally relocates into another part of the body, diversifies and manifests as a disease that we can name in Western medicine. But we know there's a lot of steps that happen before it. So we want to stop it or arrest that early in the process, okay? Now, agni converts one substance to another, but it also affects your body appetite and your body temperature. So your appetite will be directly related to how much agni strength you have. My daughter is almost 14, amazing child, like probably the best human on the planet. Don't tell my other kids that, but she's pretty incredible and just the most loving heart, kind, kind person. She is very kapha dosha. All right, remember that's earth and water. She does not have very much fire in her constitution. And you see that through her physical structure and especially her appetite. She has a very low appetite. And it's amazing because she eats much less than my other children. And yet she has a bigger, more solid build than my other children who eat a lot more often and eat a lot more. And so you can see that agni, that fire in the people around you and even in yourself. And it helps you to understand that digestion and appetite is a very individual thing. And the way that your body deals with it and functions with it is also very individual. So you can't ever say, well, that person can eat this much and I can only eat this much or I gain weight. It's because you're agni, okay? And there's things we can do to stoke agni, and we'll discuss some of those as well. Okay, so your agni, again, is reflected in your body weight, your appetite, your body temperature. And so when an overweight person has a low appetite, they tend to have low agni. Underweight people who have a strong appetite tend to have higher agni. And then people who are moderate appetite, they have a pretty healthy body weight, they're more balanced. So if you are starving all the time, but you're low weight, you might think, look at me, I can eat whatever I want. And people around you are probably a little bit jealous because they're thinking, oh my goodness, how is he or she able to eat so much food and never gain weight? It's not actually a good thing. It means your agni fire is so high, you are not pulling the nutrients that you need from that food. We want it to be more of moderate. We want to kind of regulate it just a little bit. And when you have that low appetite, we need to increase that agni or that fire. So we always want to kind of find that middle ground. It's like Buddhism, right? We want to find the middle way and find that path of neutrality where we're not too high, not too low. We're just right in the center there. Let's talk just a little bit about the qualities of agni, and then we'll just talk a bit more about how we can kind of improve some of this, and then we'll get into a lot more on future episodes. So the qualities of agni are a lot like the qualities of pitta. So if we want to increase agni, we want to increase the qualities of pitta. If you already have a lot of pitta fire in your digestion and you're thinking, I don't really want to increase these qualities, I already have the tendency towards things like heartburn or ulcers, or I get emotionally upset, or if I eat spicy food, it's just too much for me, then we want to also balance those out, okay? So let's talk about these qualities first. Let's just get them real clear in our mind. So agni obviously is hot, right? It's light. When you think of fire, it's not heavy. It's pretty dry. Fire dries things out. It's subtle, right? You can almost, if you look at a fire, think of how you can kind of see through it. It's not really substance to it. You can't really touch it or hold it and feel it. You can definitely feel the heat, but you can't actually hold a flame in your hand. It's a little more flowing. You watch how it moves a bit, and it's sharp. There's a lot of just sharp edges to it. It's kind of got a hard energy. It's very rough and clear. Those are the basic qualities of Agni. It also penetrates. When you look at someone who's had a burn, my dad several years ago had a chemical burn incident, and that fire heat penetrated deep into the tissues of his body, and he actually had horrible burns all over his upper body. It was pretty traumatic, actually. But penetrating, okay? So Agni is very penetrating. When you look at all these qualities put together, don't try and memorize them. That's just stressful, and it's only useful if you're, you know, going to take a test about this. But to apply it in your life, just know that Agni's main quality you want to focus on is heat. Agni is very hot. When you take anything into the body through any of your five senses, you're going to increase Agni and increase the strength of digestion. So when you take in heat, it'll increase the strength of digestion in your body. So if you're eating really hot, spicy foods, if you're exercising outside in the middle of the day, if you're sitting in the sun all the time, that's one way to increase Agni, and you increase the strength of digestion. You'll find that people who live in colder areas don't have as strong of digestion just because overall the temperatures are cold. They're not spending time out in the sun. Maybe they're not moving as much because it's too cold to go outside. So there's a direct correlation between geography and Agni, which is pretty interesting as well. And then if you want to decrease that, if it's too high, you want to bring in the opposite qualities. And the most important thing to bring in would be cold, obviously. So reducing Agni would happen through things like drinking ice water, which I never recommend in Ayurveda. I don't care how high your Agni is. We tend to say don't drink ice water. But drinking colder water, wintertime Agni is slower or lower. Wading or swimming in cold water is also going to decrease that fire or that heat, so the Agni digestion. There's a lot of different types of Agni. We'll do a whole nother podcast episode about those. But what we want you to understand is that Agni is a very good reflection of the state of the doshas within your body. So you can have a high Agni, low Agni. It can be variable, kind of all over the place. Sometimes you have an appetite, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're digesting all your food, sometimes you're not, or it can be really balanced. But this state of Agni is going to determine the quality of your digestion. And remember, digestion is the number one most important thing in determining your health. It's vital. So anything that is not balanced Agni is going to produce an imbalance. So when somebody thinks, oh, it's so great that my digestion is so strong and so heavy and I can eat so much, not so much. We don't want that. We want balanced. Same with the opposite, or if it's variable, right? If you're like, oh, sometimes I'm ravenous and then there's, you know, periods of time where I just really don't have much of an appetite, that's not good. We want to get that nice and moderate and balanced. So Agni really reflects what's going on with Vata, specifically one sub-dosha called Samana Vayu. And now you're going, wait, you've lost me. We were talking about Pitta and Agni fire, and now you're throwing Vata in here. Explain. Well, when you look at a fire, you have to have a couple things to make a fire work, right? You got to have a spark. You have to have kindling or something to fuel the fire. And you've got to have oxygen or air if you're building a campfire outside. So we also have to have that same elemental makeup within our own bodies. So if we want digestive fire, we have to have a little bit of air to stoke the fire. And there are five sub-doshas of Vata I've talked about in previous episodes, but the one that's most important here is called Samana Vayu. So Samana Vayu is the air that's blowing on the fire. And when that Samana Vayu is steady, the fire is steady. But if it gets too strong, it'll build up a big bonfire. And if it's too weak, the fire can decrease and go out. So it needs to keep a nice steady flow of air. This shows us how interrelated all the doshas are, because Vata dosha has a direct impact on what's happening with Pitta and the fire in the digestion tract. Because if we have too much Vata, let's say we have a lot of movement. And here's a really good example. I went to Orlando, as I mentioned. Well, flying home, we had a long flight to Minnesota, and then we had a nice like 3.5 hour layover, and then we had another couple hour flight on the way to Jackson. That is a lot of travel time and movement and that noise and sound that you hear in the airplane where it's that constant jet engine sound. And even with earplugs and headphones on, you can still kind of feel it and hear it. The dryness in the environment within the airplane, wearing a mask makes it more difficult, which, you know, that's so fun. That was like a 12-hour travel day with a mask on. felt great sympathy for my kids going to school with masks. But all of that increases vata. So by the time we got home at about 8 o'clock last night, I was feeling kind of bloated, a little bit more gassy than usual. I didn't have much of an appetite. I just felt kind of unwell. And I hadn't eaten very much during the day intentionally. If you've listened to the episode that I did with Dr. Victor Briere about travel, you'll know why. You don't want to eat a lot when you're traveling. But I still had an excess of vata simply because of all the air element and all that movement that was happening in the body, because movement creates an increase in vata. So that affected my digestive fire and decreased it. It was actually blowing too strong on it and kind of blew it out a little bit. And so I just did not have much of an appetite, too much air in my GI tract. It took until this morning for that to kind of work itself out. And now I'm finally feeling back to normal, you know, 12, 18 hours later. So it's important that we understand that vata does affect it. So it's dependent, that pitta fire is dependent upon vata. And that's really an important one because we always want to kind of watch what's happening. So if you find that you have an unstable appetite, then you know that your samana vayu is out of control. You have too much vata. So even though you see it as a symptom of pitta dosha, understand that it's actually vata that's causing a lot of those problems. Okay, so we have those four states of agni. You can be high, which tends to come more with pitta dosha. You can have low agni, low digestive fire, which tends towards a kapha dosha constitution. You can have more of a variable appetite, that's more vata. And if it's nice and balanced, that can be any of the four doshas that has gotten itself, or three doshas, that's funny, any of the three doshas that's gotten itself balanced, okay? So we're shooting towards that moderation, that balance in all things. In a future episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about the 13 different types of agni. So now that we see there's agni and there's fire, we know that in different parts of the body, it's functioning different in order to build and form these tissues. And that is something we'll cover as well in the future. So what can you do to keep your agni fire moderated? All right, that's what I want to end with here. Now, our agni fire, because it is so dependent upon not only the food that we're eating, but the environment in which we're eating, the timing of our food, the volume of our food, the environment that we're eating it in, how much outside stimulation we've had leading up to that, our emotions and stress, or even excitement and overly exuberant emotions can affect our agni. So truly, there are so many factors that come into it. What I encourage you to do is start to pay attention. Even if you have been a student of Ayurveda for a long time and you feel like you've got this dialed in, we're in the middle of a season change. We're moving into fall season. So if you're in a part of the world where that means it's going to get cooler, it's important for you to see, what is that rise in vata doing to my digestion? Is it affecting my appetite, my desire for certain foods? Am I feeling more drawn towards warm and heavier foods, which hopefully that's what your body's going to start asking for? If it's not asking for that, then we want to start aligning with those foods until our body realizes that's what's best for it. And we want to start to really pay attention. So as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, oftentimes we don't really know what's happening within our bodies because we're not listening. So getting in touch with your own digestive hunger and your own cues that let you know food's fully digested, I'm ready now to eat something else, is really important. And understanding that when we eat, it's typically not for hunger. You heard me right. When you eat, it's typically not because you're hungry. There are so many conditioning factors that have taught you that it's time to eat, or I need to eat for emotional reasons, or I'm bored and I'm going to eat, or I'm avoiding something, or I just need a little more stability because I feel kind of ungrounded. So there's a lot of reasons why we eat that have nothing to do with our body's physiological needs. We want to start to tune into those. So this next week, before I come back with another episode about digestion, because we're going to do a whole series here, I want you to take time every day in the evening and review your day. Look back on it and see, okay, when did I eat? What was I choosing? Was there a reason why I chose that food? Or was it just out of habit? Or that's what I had in the fridge? Or I had leftovers I didn't want to waste? Or was quick and easy? So really identify, why did I eat those foods? What was my emotional state when I was eating? How did I feel before and then after? If it's easier to do this as you go through your day, that would be great. For many of us, we just don't have the time to do that throughout the day. So just taking 10 minutes at the end of the night to reflect back on your day, and then give yourself a rating of what type of agni you experienced overall for that day. Was it low Agni with low appetite, low digestion? You didn't feel hungry real often. Was it high? Were you really hungry today? Like every few hours, you felt like you needed something to put into your body. You just couldn't get satisfied. Was it variable? Like maybe you were hungry when you woke up in the morning, so you ate a bigger breakfast, and then you really had no appetite for the rest of the day. Or did it feel pretty balanced? You could go 3 or 4 hours feeling pretty good in between your meals. Those are all really important things for you to start to identify. Because I feel like this is such a foundational piece of our health, I have put together a short, free workshop that I'm going to host live on Zoom this Thursday. If you're listening to this real time, it's going to be Thursday, September 30th. It's at 12 noon Mountain Standard Time. And I will include in these show notes a link to registration for this workshop so that you can come and get some really practical tools about how to heal your digestion as well as just have a happy gut. We want your belly to be happy. We want you to feel good so that you can digest and properly metabolize the food that you're taking in. You can register for that workshop at ayurvedalifeschool.com/webinar, and it will just be a fun time for us to come together and chat and really explore what our digestion is doing. You can ask questions, it'll be interactive, and it won't be a super long one. So I hope that you can join me this Thursday at noon Mountain Time. And then beyond that, it is time for cleansing. So whether you cleanse with the Ayurveda Life School this fall or on your own, I invite you to make time for this, to give yourself a reset. If you want to join our group cleanse, it's going to start on October 11th with a big kickoff call that night. And it's a 16-day virtual collective community experience. It's going to be fantastic. We did one in the spring. It was really a great experience. It was not easy. I will give it that. It is challenging, but it is definitely worth it. Very rewarding, and it's very beneficial to start to clear out a lot of the ama and toxins we've been talking about. You can learn more about the cleanse at ayurvedalifeschool.com/seasonalcleanse. I hope to see you all in the webinar on Thursday. It's going to be fantastic. I just love to talk about this and to be able to get questions real time from you and give you feedback and thoughts, and we can really learn and grow in this together. So have a beautiful day. I hope that you are doing something that brings you joy. If you're not feeling passion in life, it's time to step back, get some clarity, and just move into it with joy, because everything works better when you are in flow. Have a beautiful day. We'll talk to you next week. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.